And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Standin.
Hey, welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Pete Gray here, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup here, right in the eye of the storm here in San Diego here with Captain Dylan Reed from Bite Sport Fishing, having a great time talking fishing. And I just stepped outside. It feels very tropical outside.
It looks tropical outside.
Yeah, it's a very tropical day here in San Diego.
That wind that got up to 7, it's back off.
Yeah, is that, yeah, oh, it's like 2 now?
Yeah, it gusted up to 7.
Gusted up to 7 miles an hour.
Yeah, it's falling back off.
And there's a little bit of rain out there that's falling, you know, like a little sprinkle.
Yeah.
It's going to get the garden wet.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
We're having a great time here this morning. Captain Dylan from Bite Sport Fishing joined us. Having a great time talking fishing. So much killer info this morning. Man, if you want to join, it's been a very busy show. 213-432-1090. That's the number here to Let's Talk Hookup. The text the show option. Lots of really good text, but plenty of time with another full hour taking your text messages. Again, that's only available through the Let's Talk Hookup app. Free download. And if you didn't catch the beginning of the show, we're also giving away a killer prize. One lucky caller or texter at the end of today's show is going to get to go fishing on a full-day trip on the Liberty at a Fisherman's Landing. How cool is that?
Yeah. So Coronado Islands have been a big go-to spot because there's been some good fishing in the Coronado Islands
great
lately.
Fishing islands,
you know, you're required to have an FMM when you go there. And that FMM website is the worst website in history.
Thank you. Thank you for somebody saying what needs to be said.
I mean,
it's awful.
It's awful. But Ken Frankie and Edwin at Stack put together a great how-to tutorial on it. One thing I'll recommend that if you want to do, that actually my friend Steve recommended, is go in and set up an account. Because it takes about an hour just to set up an account using these things. So, and then once you have an account, it makes it easier to go through the FMM process.
Where do you set up an account? Or is that'll all be in the tutorial?
It's part of the deal. Yeah, okay. It's all in the tutorial. So go to the SAC website, californiasportfishing.org, and then you'll see the how-to. You just click on the FMM, and then you'll see a how-to tutorial. You can either print it out like I did. I just printed it out so I can go page by page of how it is, and then follow it. And it takes a long time, but it works.
I cannot tell you how
many. But it's still the worst website in history.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many people who are license buying people want to be appropriate, want to have all the stuff, call the shop every day. Frustrated, hey, I can't do it, what do I do? You know, and like, how do you answer that?
Yeah.
You know, how do you answer that for somebody? You can't tell somebody, well, don't go without it, but at the same time, it is so difficult to comply that it makes it tough. I'm really glad to hear that those guys did that.
Yeah.
That was a great job.
And I'll throw this out, too, that Ken and Edwin and the guys there, they work for the sport fishing fleet. They don't work for the private boaters, but they did this basically for the private boat guys.
No doubt.
So we owe them a big debt of gratitude.
Totally.
For sure.
Hey, that's great to hear.
Uh-oh. Watch out, Dylan. The boss is on the line. Captain Brandon Hayward. Hey, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
What's up, Brandon?
Great. Well, Dylan's doing
staying
a great
dry
job here, man. It's like people are wanting to talk to him, get all the information on swordfish and sea bass and tuna.
I thought Dylan would be a great guest because I've said the same thing 17 times now, you know?
Yeah. Right. We always like having you.
So, this is awesome.
So, So he's a big part of Bite Sport Fishing here.
He is. Dylan's a big part of my life. You know, I've known him since we were teenagers, and we worked on sport boats together, and he's one of my favorite people in the world, so it's great to work with him. And I love swordfish as well, and he has such a huge passion for it and has such huge success for it, so that's been fun to watch as well.
Is he your A guy when it goes to swordfish?
I think everyone's good at catching them. You know, Wes was really hot the first year when he put in the most effort, but I think Dylan's really good, and I think Jake's phenomenal as well, and I think they're all good, but Dylan takes it to a next level in terms of, like, the theory of swordfish and everything that goes into it.
Yeah, for sure. You've got quite the team there at Bite.
Yeah, no, they're the best. We're like a family, you know?
Yeah. And you're running now. Where are you running out of different harbors now?
I have no idea what we're doing.
Where are your boats?
We're kind of at the bottom end. We're at Fisherman's Landing. At the top end, we're up at Channel Islands because there was a little flash of tuna up there, and I have the three boats. I'm flirting really, really hard with going up to Fort Bragg or Eureka or something like that in September and doing albacore. Cool. The fishing's really good up there. Yeah, the fishing's really good up there, like 30 fish a boat. The weather's good this weekend. And I think we have the client base that we could kind of look at the windows and weather and make it work. And humility aside, there's kind of not much left around here that we haven't done, you know, between the sea bass, the swordfish, the tunas. The toe's been cracked for tunas. Finding them is the hard part. The catching them with the kite and the fly isn't incredibly difficult, you know?
Right. So I'm kind of pretty cool.
Something fun and different, and we haven't had albacore in so long, and the eight fish that have been caught in Southern California this summer have kind of, like, you know, really created a buzz and a stir, and people are into that fish. So I'm really thinking about bringing one of the boats up there, and if I do, I'll let you guys know.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
That would be fun.
Are you still fishing sea bass in the Channel Islands?
No, there was a little flash up there. Those tunas got like 5 miles off the beach, and I ran a couple trips up there, and we were catching them like outside where you catch sea bass at Santa Rosa and Santa Cruz, which was really, really cool. And Tanner's not too far from there, nor is the west end of Catalina. So there's a different set of angler from Bakersfield and Ventura that don't want to drive down south, just like how San Diego guys never want to drive to LAX, you know? It's
right.
It's the drive. So if you can park a boat up there, you tap into a whole different clientele.
It was really fun to see the fishing for some of those guys, you know, Channel Island sport fishing, seeing a, you know, a half day or a three quarter day boat catch a limit of rockfish and then go offshore and catch a bluefin tuna. Like, that fish was clearly close to the beach and biting.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. No, and they eat flying fish up there just as good, and it's been really fun. So that's our deal. We kind of mix it up. Bookings are a little bit slower this year compared to the last 8 years. I feel like people are just used to 100-pound bluefin, and it's not this gold rush mentality. So we're always kind of finding ways to keep all three boats moving.
Yeah. So what's the most popular thing for bite sport fishing? It tuna, sea bass, swordfish?
It's still tuna.
Tuna, yeah.
And that's what we run the most of.
I was just saying, you guys just have it so dialed in. All of the guys that drive the boats are so good at it, and you've taken that, like, picking off a trophy class fish for your guy to such another level. I'm not surprised. You guys just really do it right.
You guys still do lobster?
I appreciate it. Lobster, yeah, I still do lobster. I still do lobster combo trips. I don't do the 2-day limit dial trip anymore. That was just a lot. But the lobster trips, the interest in those has fallen off quite a bit. I mean, that first couple years I did it by myself, I was running like San Diego style grind every day on those things. So we still run them, but we probably do 20 something trips a year, whereas before I filled up a lobster card in a half one season, you know?
Wow.
Yeah. And sea bass, and sea bass is still our huge sauce. We're going to start sea bass season in February. We're actually, for our crew trip, we're all going to go to Africa in January and for the first time shut the business down for 5 weeks and kind of do boat work and take January off.
Wow.
So we'll start sea bass again in early February. And sea bass is still a huge part of what we do. And, you know, there's 100 guys that can take you for bluefin, and everyone's good at it. But for sea bass, it's still kind of our thing, and there's not many people in the small boat landscape that really excel at it.
Yeah, no, and you guys do, because I've been there.
It's still my favorite. If I had to pick one fish, I'd probably edge the sea bass out over the swordfish just barely, but I love the swordfish too.
So, and Dylan, we know you're the swordfish. Swordfish is number one for you?
Yeah.
What's second?
A lot of reasons. Swordfish.
Nothing.
Swordfish. And then a distant third would be swordfish. Still swordfish. All right. So the sea bass thing is not your deal.
I love sea bass. When I worked on the first string back in like 2000, I think it was, and I actually did the drive and went up and worked out of San Pedro.
Wow.
And we had like a number of really good years up there.
Yeah.
And I've seen it all, you know, 60-pound sea bass eating dead squid in the corner. Like, ridiculous.
Wow.
And I think that's just where, you know, the swordfish thing, like, growing up in the industry, I've gotten to experience all that Southern California has had to offer in my lifetime, and it's been incredible. And we've never had legit shots on swordfish. You know, you bait surface ones, and most of the time they don't eat a bait, don't bite.
And it's just the top of the food chain fish. Let's be real about it.
Like, they're just the
cooler one.
It's the
one.
They eat the best or one of the best. Yeah. And, you know, they, from what I've seen, they fight the hardest. It's a different style of fight, but no other fish has that endurance by any means. And you know, for and the biggest, you know,
right.
You have legit shots. And commercial guys get 600-700 pound ones.
Ooh.
And we haven't landed one that size. I think we've hooked them, you know, and we're still just learning how.
Sure.
How do you deal with an animal
that huge and that powerful?
Totally.
Right. Yeah. Amazing.
And then how do you deal with it in a 14-foot skiff?
Yeah. that's really something. Hey, Brandon, if somebody wants to book a trip to Bite Sport Fishing, whether it be swordfish, bluefin, lobster, sea bass, or maybe albacore.
I want to go albacore fishing.
How do we do that?
Our schedule's online, both at Fisherman's Landing and at Channel Island Sport Fishing. So you can book online if you want to do an open party, it's just you, or if you want to book a charter, you can do it through the landing. But otherwise, just give me a call. That seems to be the best way. And you can search us out on the web, or my cell is 949-212-0719.
All right, and
great
it's
job.
Bite, B-I-G-H-T, sportfishing.com?
Yep, like the Southern California Bite, exactly.
Perfect. All right, Brandon.
But I think we're going to go and do the albacore thing. Like, I really, something's telling me to go do it, try it.
I'm looking forward to it.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
And you said it best. There's been a handful caught, and, man, it was on every social media, everything, every person talked about. Like, we all want to go catch one. I want to go catch one. How rad does it sound?
Oh, yeah.
Cruise around in one of the 28 parkers for the day and hear the clicker go off. And,
yeah, and typically in fall, the weather gets good up there, right?
Yeah, and when the windows are right, it's really good. On a last thing, like, remember when we caught albacore in San Diego? Like, they bit, it was good, but the queen would go up there, and there's something about that fish when it gets above Point Conception. It just bites with such reckless abandon, like six-way jig stops and just everything you think of with albacore. So I kind of want to do that at some point in my life again.
And I think the last time the queen went up there was probably with Sam and Brian. I mean, how many years ago is that now?
Yeah.
15 or 20 years ago?
Yeah.
And still on Let's Talk Hookup, if Gavin happens to be on the show or Drew happens to be on the show, there's always a question, hey, you think the queen's going to go back up tomorrow, babe? I mean, like, people love it. It was such a big thing, and I get it. That's cool. I think it's a great idea.
No, thanks for that. So, but yeah, otherwise, the Freeman at Fisherman's Landing and one of the 28s up at Channel Islands, if you guys want to get out with us the next couple weeks here.
All right. Sounds great, Brandon. You have openings then.
Yeah, plenty.
All right. Cool. Thanks for joining us. We're going to get back to it.
Thanks for having Dylan. He's the best, man.
You bet. Well, somebody had to cover for you. All right, Brandon.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for calling in this morning. Phones are packed. Let's jump into the phones.
You got that right, man. They are packed. And if you want to get your shot, it's 213-432-1090. Let's jump back in and talk to Sam. He's calling us from Lakeside this morning. Hi, Sam. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. Yo, Sam. Well, looks like we might have lost Sam, so why don't we jump back into him and talk to Gus. He's calling us from Burbank this morning. Hi, Gus. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Yo, Ricky. Yo, Pete. Yo, Dylan. Yo, everybody. Yo, you guys.
Hi, Gus.
Nice to hear from you.
Hey, it's nice to call in. But I think Hills has to stay after class. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, we know what you mean.
You know, maybe write an essay or something.
Sure.
No, I'd like to find out if you guys know what's happening at San Clemente Island. I'd like to fish there a lot, and haven't heard too much about it.
Dylan, you up on what's going on at Clemente?
We had a report.
Brian Woolley. Their guys are going out there and catching yellows.
Some good yellowtail fishing at the island. We've been near the island quite a bit in the last few weeks fishing bluefin. Yeah,
yeah,
you can see the island over there. But I personally haven't been uptight on the island. And I'm not sure if any of our other boats have recently anyway. We've had a few trips where they've stopped in after tuna or something and fished yellowtail.
It's such a cool place to go because it's just far enough away that it's got that remote, you're far away from the beach factor, but, you know, when you're uptight on the island, it's calico bass fishing, it's yellowtail fishing, it's everything that you do right outside the harbor.
Ripping rockfish fishing just off the island, yeah.
It's a mission, you know, it's a long ways away, and the Navy stuff, and it's just a really cool place to
cool
get to fish.
Place.
I love it.
And
I really like that island.
There's a lot of options there, you know, there's obviously could be some really good yellowtail fishing and all the stuff that you just mentioned with the rockfish, calico bass, everything, and then, you know, nowadays you get a couple miles off the island,
right.
And you know, there's bluefin tuna schools and the swordfish as well. Notoriously, the east side is, you know, for the commercial guys.
Oh, really?
Back in the harpoon days, yeah. They used to.
They're in there too.
Yeah.
And, on those high spots.
Well, they get the good weather on that east side of the island, you know, so it's, it's really good visual for flaggers and stuff. So they can.
What about deep dropping out there?
We'd like to do it.
Yeah, it happens, huh?
Book a trip.
Yeah, book a trip. Yeah, okay.
I'd love to go do it.
I guess that was kind of the little inside scoop.
Yeah, it's hard to, you know, we've got such good fishing along our coast.
Right.
Yeah.
And a lot of times in the fall and winter, I mean, I say a lot of times, but as the days get shorter, we just have less fishing time, so it
That's
makes it
point.
Hard to get... To spend the time running out there.
Right.
But I think we're going to come to a point where, you know, when we know there's volume in certain areas, it's going to be worth a two-hour run
sure.
to fish for less time to have a more legit opportunity than fishing some of the local banks and stuff. But
great. Good deal. Hey, Gus, nice to hear from you. Thanks for the call.
All right. Hey, with that said, it's time to find out what's going on the water. It's time for our FishDope.com report with your saltwater guide, Captain Dave Hansen. That Catch Report sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. The best processing for your fish when you're trip returner. Plus, with Fish Pros, the market, you can purchase their famous spices, rubs, and their pokey kit. Stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street or order online at Fisherman'sProcessing.com. Be sure to make those reservations by texting them at 619-255-3128. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on the show, gang. Just so everyone knows, nothing happened down here. We got about 150 phone calls yesterday wishing us luck and praying for us. Nothing happened. It barely even rained here. So
really?
Cabo didn't get anything. We got nothing out of this
big
storm.
Giant waves and everything? Not that much?
There was a little bit. I made that video. Yes, I had to go down to the harbor and wait for one wave to come and hit the rock so that it sprayed the water up in the air so I had something to put on my content. Yeah, I'm sorry. It wasn't what they said it was. I mean, I had so many people call me yesterday just going, Dave, are you okay? Is everything all right? It missed us. It was 150 miles out to sea, and so we barely got any wind, barely got any rain. But it looks like if you're in the Sea of Cortez right now, you may be getting a little bit of rain, and it looks like Cedro's got pretty hammered this morning, it looks like, looking at that track. But I don't know what's going to happen. It doesn't look like it's coming to you guys, but you know what? Who knows, Pete? It could switch at any given second.
Yeah, sure.
But
very true.
The really cool thing is if anybody remembers last year, we had like a little, I don't even know what they called it, but they had a little thing that just drug a bunch of our water from here up to you guys. And then right after that, it was the most phenomenal Dorado fishing that anybody's ever seen in Southern California. Nobody remembers that there was a little storm that brought that fish to you guys. Well, this one's a big one, so it should have dropped. It might have drawn all of our yellowfin and Dorado right up to you guys. So you may be bite sport fishing, maybe fishing yellowfin here in a couple of days. You never know. The water's been 91 down here for the last month and a half. So I know it drug all that water up towards you guys. And then as far as that Gus guy was talking about San Clemente Island, it's very good yellowtail fishing over there, but there's no boats there right now because at San Clemente Island, everyone's like you were just saying, everybody's fishing that bluefin 2 to 5 miles off the island. So there's no coverage, so there's 9,853,000 sea lions and one boat trying to catch a yellowtail. It's making it kind of tough. Catalina's the place to be. Everything's biting over there. It's been very good bass fishing. Been some good flashes on that sea bass because bite sport fishing isn't there, so it's given some of us a chance to catch some sea bass over there, thank God. You guys stay with that bluefin and go catch some swordfish and let us catch a few sea bass. And then as far as the coast goes, like Brian Woolley said, and all my guys were talking yesterday on my reports on the community, that water rolled. It got real cold and real green on the horseshoe, and real cold and real green in the middle of Southern California coastline. So that's kind of weird. Hopefully this whole system brings a bunch of warm, clean water up to you guys. But as far as it goes, that Tanner Bank, Cortez Bank, that looks like the old days of the Huntington Flats. When you look at all the sport boats out there, you go on AIS or you look at the pictures, my goodness, what a volume of fish, like Paul was talking about. I don't think there's a better time to go fishing than right now. You might want to get out there
right now. And of course, Danny and the boys at fishdope.com have all the information for you. $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code hookup now, lowercase, no space, hookup now, $20 off fishdope.com. And Dave, how do we find you?
Gang, it's almost impossible to not see me, but if you're having trouble, just go on any social media platform and type in Your Saltwater Guide. I'm going to pop up, and then my website, yoursaltwaterguide.com. And we got a phenomenal community over there. If you're having trouble catching fish and you're tired of following boats, you can jump on my website and you never have to fish for boats again. And Kelly Girl and I will talk to you guys next Sunday.
Thanks a lot.
Can't find Hanson. Your router's busted.
Like, yeah.
You got a problem with Wi-Fi.
All right,
that's
Dave.
Right.
Thanks for that.
See you guys.
Talk to you next Sunday. You know, you can always find Captain Dave right here every Sunday. That's always a good thing.
Never miss.
Right? Never miss. For sure. He's a Mr. Reliable.
That's for sure.
For sure.
Hey, I had a really fun text come through. I was wanting to talk to Dylan about. Says, great show, guys. Dylan, can you tell us more about your 14-foot skiff? What's the motor and electronics like? Did you do anything special as far as equipment to land a big swordfish? Can't wait to hear about it. That's from Dan in Huntington Beach, and he says thanks. He's a longtime listener.
Great. Let's see. The motor's 50 horse Tohatsu. I had an older motor that I initially outfitted it with, and like I went fishing a couple times on it, and I just kind of came to the realization that if I was going to actually fish for swords seriously, that I wanted to have like kind of the most reliable situation I could, you know, to be out there on that small of a boat and to be solo. I don't want to be dealing with engine problems, so I just popped out and bought the new one. And I'm glad I did, because I've already been in situations where it wouldn't want to be dealing with a
engine issue.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Especially solo out there and just dealing with a fish. And
what about electronics, though, on a boat like that? I mean, because you need something that penetrates a lot of water, right?
Yeah, so I put the bronze 175L transducer, which it's a 1kW, and I've got a Furuno display. So, you know, for swordfish guys, that's pretty, like, entry level. I found, for the most part, I can do everything I need to do with it.
Uh-huh.
You know, it gives me water temp, and I can see the bottom out to, you know, like 3,000 feet, and I start dribbling off traces. But and I can see the deep bait. You know, usually we're marking the bait anywhere from, like, deep bait, like 400 feet down to 1,200.
Uh-huh.
You know, so that low frequency transducer penetrates the water better and gives you those bait readings than a high frequency would. So that's why I went with just the dedicated low.
Sure.
So that's pretty simple. That's like what the electronic package is on the boat. And
what kind of skiff is it?
It's a Mexicat. They're made down in Ensenada by my boy Frondo. He's a local San Diego guy. He's just
Mexicat.
Yeah. So he's got his own.
So it's a catamaran.
Yep, it's a catamaran. He's been building cats down there for a handful of years. He built some really cool, like 20 and 30 foot cats, little pilot house versions and stuff.
Really?
I kind of reached out to him. I had known him for a little while, just through various friends and stuff, and kind of reached out to him and was like, hey, I just want to, like, small cat for like solo fishing in the fall when the weather's nice for swords. And he's actually done some like commercial sword fishing. I think he worked on a gill netter or something back in the day. So he's like, wait, what are you trying to do? You know, like, this guy's nuts, you know. But he was like, hey, I have this Kevlar one that I built for myself. And, you know, it was like right before Christmas holidays. And, you know, he's like, I'll sell you this one. You know, it was like one of his personal boats. So it just kind of worked out organically.
Nice.
And I bought the boat off him kind of like unfit. And then I made the rod holders for it and reinforced them all with like G10 plate, which is like really strong fiberglass structure.
Okay.
Because when you're fishing the 10-pound sinkers on a rod holder all day, it's a lot of load on the boat.
Sure, yeah.
So if your rod holders are rinky-dink, like they're going to break or crack the boat. So I spent a lot of time working on the boat just to get it to what I thought would be appropriate for, and I've had to do a couple little tweaks on things, but I've got it pretty dialed now where I'm happy with it and it fishes great.
Well, cool. What kind of fuel or how much fuel do you hold?
I have a 12-gallon tank. Sometimes I'll carry a little bit more, but to fish like our local 9 Mile Bank spots, I can usually do it on, you know, 6 or 7 gallons.
Yeah, that's so rad.
That's pretty nice. That's hey, another great text here from Mr. Wong and Dana Point says, do you ever use mackerel on the kite for bluefin?
You know, I remember trying that, like that first year that the bluefin showed up here. And, you know, we were fishing poppers and surface irons and stuff for like the 100-pounders. And, you know, there'd be some days where you'd see it so well and you're just dragging your lures through it and you couldn't get a bite. And we're like, well, you know, long range kite mackerel situation. And I just remember putting a mackerel in the middle of a foamer and it's just getting bounced around by the fish and they just wouldn't eat it for whatever reason. And, you know, ever since the flying fish, was developed, found out that they'll mechanically bite it as they do. There's no reason to fish a mackerel. You know, it's like why
stick with the dead flyer.
Yeah,
100%. Or the California.
Yeah,
flyer.
I mean, you could put the California flyer wings on your mackerel. Probably get a bite.
Do you ever slow troll the California flyer?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sometimes even the dead baits.
Yeah.
You know, just to get a little bit more wind in the kite sometimes.
Gotcha.
You know, if the wind's really light and you use a little bit of boat speed to build a, sailors call apparent wind, you can kind of get the California flyer looking really good, you know, going maybe 3-4 knots.
Okay.
You know, it's just kind of working itself out there.
Yeah.
And then the same with the dead bait. Yeah.
That's more in flat, calm weather.
You can do it in the wind too. Sometimes in the wind, like depending on the angle your kite is from your boat and stuff, the baits can get kind of sideways
because
the wind. Yeah, the wind's like blowing your bait up. So, you know, you just got to keep an eye on that. You want the bait to be like really horizontal and fishing correctly. You know, look at it with your if you have the gyros, glass your bait and make sure it looks presentable. If your bait's on its side or upside down or something, it's generally not going to get a bite unless it's really, really good fishing.
And what kind of kite do you use?
That depends on the condition. You know, if it's real windy, sometimes we'll use the little black Boston kites just because they're rapid fire. You could get it up really quick and bait a spot. But generally we use the helium balloon on a square kite. The Lewis kites are great.
Yeah.
The California flyer kite, the light wind one, is really big. So that's a nice...
grabs a lot of wind.
Yeah.
When there's not a lot of wind to grab.
Great tool.
But you always use... When you're flying those square kites, you always use a balloon with it.
You don't have to, but it's the biggest crutch in the world because it keeps your kite in the air. And the biggest advantage it gives you, or me, I should say, is you can actually work downwind if you see a spot without crashing your gear, without crashing your kite. And you still, you know, depending on the wind strength, and, you know, it gets pretty technical, but depending on all of the elements and what's going on, you know, a lot of times you can run downwind with your kite up, which if you don't have the balloon on it, or it's a Boston, like you're probably
it's going
crash
to hit the water.
Yeah. And then that's a big mess and might lose your kite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It happens.
Cost you fishing time, the whole deal.
You can make so many more mistakes if you have a helium balloon attached to your kite and not pay the price for it.
Right.
Or if you're flying without it, like any
mistake you make.
And you go 10 degrees the wrong direction and the whole thing's in the water.
Yeah.
And a lot of them won't fly if they're wet, you know, especially if it's a.
Or if you lose it, it's, you know, $100 kite, right?
It's 100, like, it's rare to find one that's less than 200.
I'm saying correctly.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they're just expensive, you know, like all the good kites are 150, 170, 180, 200, 250, you know, I mean, it's an expensive deal. But helium's not cheap
helium's
either.
Not
that's
cheap
that's
either.
The other
yeah.
thing. Like, helium's gotten crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you fill up a helium balloon with a $50 bill, right?
Yeah.
Just to fill up a balloon?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
When we started doing it, it cost $50 to refill our helium tank. When we first started fishing the kite with our thing, now the exact same tank is $500 to fill. I mean, think about that. That was not that many years ago. It went from $50 to refill the tank to $500.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Pretty crazy.
Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup. More of your phone calls, more of your great texts, and more of this great info with Captain Dillon. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hey everyone, James Holst here with Norsk Lithium, the official battery partner of Let's Talk Hookup. Here at Norsk Lithium, we have two goals that drive who we are and what we do. The first is to make the highest quality, longest lasting lithium batteries available with a complete lineup of batteries that include 12, 24, 36 volt and starting batteries. Second, in addition to offering a 10-year warranty on all Norsk Lithium marine batteries, we provide amazing customer service both before and after the sale. It doesn't matter if you're looking to upgrade your current batteries tomorrow or a year from tomorrow. We're here to answer your rigging questions to get everything set up right the first time. Find us online at norsklithium.com. That's N-O-R-S-K lithium.com. Or call us at 831-232-9063. Or to see Norsk Lithium batteries in person, stop by the Trolling Motor Doctor in Lakewood and have Nick Wayne walk you through why Norsk Lithium batteries should be in your boat.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, Calstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest that's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Calstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Calstar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
Great. Great fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Doe, Pride, Polaris Supreme, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. To charters or schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
This is Captain Art Taylor from Searcher Sport Fishing. Your hook is one of the most important links to catching fish. And at Searcher Sport Fishing, we use and recommend Gamagatsu hooks. The Gamagatsu Nautilus hook is best for tuna. And now with a variety of sizes all the way down to size 4, Gamagatsu hooks are the ones to use. It's important to be prepared with the right tackle when you come aboard Searcher, so that should include Gamagatsu hooks.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. Spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning. Again, if you want to get through, busy morning on the phones, 213-432-1090. That's how you hook up with Dillon now. The phones are packed up. Let's jump back into him and talk to Jim. He's calling us from National City this morning. What's up, Jim? Welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Hey, this rain here right now is building up a little bit, but not much of a storm right now. But my question for Dillon is... on a 300-pound swordfish, bigger or small, whatever, is that fish taken to the fish processing, or do you guys fillet it on the boat or back at the dock, or what goes on with filleting that 300-pound swordfish? What do you guys do?
We have cut them, and if clients are, you know, adamant about going home with it cut, we can do that. It's actually a really easy fish to fillet. Their meat's so soft. They don't really have bones like other fish. It just kind of like peels off the backbone or vertebrae. It's fun. We like cutting them. The problem is, specific to swordfish, they just do so much better if they've been iced for like 2 or 3 days. So a lot of times we'll send them to the processor, and, you know, we discuss this with our clients too. And the processors, they know this information as well, and they'll actually put that fish on ice for 2 or 3 days before they cut it. When I've caught a fish personally, I do the same thing. I'll pack it, you know, in a kill bag on ice and just keep it super iced down for 2 or 3 days. The fish hold up really well for a long time on ice. Like the commercial guys I think you can keep them for like 20-something days just packed on ice. They do really well. But the meat comes out so much better when they've been treated like that. When you cut the fish really fresh, you can almost see the meat like tense up. And, like, it kind of bulges out the side of the fillet as a trip, almost like shark or something. And it,
because the muscles haven't had time to relax.
Exactly. And, it still eats great.
Sure.
You know, it's a swordfish.
Yeah, right.
It's going to eat great.
But way better if you put it on ice.
Yeah, to respect the fish and treat it optimally, the best thing you can do is ice it for a couple days. Obviously, we can't come back and cut your fish after you've taken it and iced it for your 2 days. But that, my recommendation would be to send it to the processor where they
you make arrangements sometimes with the processor.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And they'll come and pick it up, or we'll arrange that it gets picked up the next day, or hustle it, whatever we got to do to take care of the fish and keep it optimal.
Yeah.
But they'll put it in their cold room and keep it, you know, super cold for a few days. Or if our clients want, they can take it whole, or we'll dress it like a commercial guy would, you know, no head, no guts, just carcass, and pack it in the client's kill bag, and they can take it home. And
so now
cut it.
Now I've heard that when you catch a swordfish, you want to scrub the stomach out. Is there truth to that?
The stomach just has like a lot of lining on it, somewhat like all the fish that we catch. There's a little bit of a liner in there. The swords have that as well. It's maybe a little bit thicker just because they're so big, and to scrape that off while you're doing the filleting is good or proper.
Do you gill and gut fish before you put it on the ice?
Yeah. When you're cutting it, either before you ice it or after you ice it, we usually scrub the fish. This was new to me prior to my sword fishing experience, and they don't really have scales, but they do have like their skin's almost like a shark skin. You know, it's like kind of smooth one way and kind of grabs you the other. But they have kind of like a layer of like slime on them, dirt. But when you hit them with a scrub, like a deck brush, this like film, black film, gray film comes off of them. You can like scrub the whole fish down and then hose it off, and because it's the only fish that gets treated that way, it's kind of one of our favorite parts.
One thing I can tell you, Jim, take it to the processor, because it's, I mean, a fresh piece of swordfish, that's it for me. That's my favorite piece of fish to put on the barbecue. It's so good. But man, you don't want to see all the things living in your swordfish. Just get your killer bags back from Fisherman's Processing. They'll be clean and pure and beautiful. Like, those things have the swordfish. They just have gnarly stuff living in them.
Kind of like a halibut. Yeah, when you're a lot of worms.
Yeah, you just cut, you know, when you're cutting it at home, like, ooh, let's cut wide around whatever that little yellow knob is inside there. And, man, sometimes the ignorance is bliss when it comes to eating that thing. You get a tray of beautiful, perfect fillets back. You don't think twice. And sometimes when you're cutting it at home, it's like, whoa, that thing's still crawling around, man. They got some gnarliness living in them.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime fish, or, you know, hopefully more than that for some people. But, just like, you know, when you harvest a big bluefin or any of our fish in the fishery, just respect it. Yeah, take it, you know, treat it right, get it iced down and chain of custody, keep it cold the whole time, and respect it.
That's awesome.
Here's a good question from Kevin in San Clemente. He says, Dylan, I plan on going out with you for swordfish, and I plan on keeping the bill. Oh, he's confident.
That's right.
He's very confident.
Like,
question, what is the process for drying out and preserving the bill? Good question.
Yeah. That is a good question, and it's something I've been researching on my own quite a bit. We have a couple different procedures we've used, and our favorite one so far is we just hang it off our dock and let the sea creatures do their bidding.
Like in the water.
Yeah. And I was like kind of afraid that like a seal would come and take it because it's kind of oily and fishy, but they don't mess with them. They just leave them alone. And, after I'd say a good 40 days, like a month and a half or something, they're pretty picked through, and it's just this nice ivory looking skeleton of the bill.
And I've heard that done with shark teeth, like shark jaws.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing. Hanging shark jaws out.
Exactly. And then you can dry it out from there. Use a little bit of peroxide, or I think they say not to use bleach. I've heard of other methods. Guys have made like chambers out of PVC pipe, and they'll drop their bill in like acetone.
Really?
Yeah, and the acetone, like, just eats all the oil and everything off of it, and they, like, put it, make this bill cartridge chamber.
Yeah, visualize.
I haven't tried that one yet, but I usually do the salt. You know, you could probably bury it in the backyard and let the worms do their thing. But, usually time a bait receiver is a great way. We've thrown them in bait receivers, and you come back a month or two later, and the thing's just totally good to go. And
really?
And try it out from there.
I know Connor from the Shogun, who at one time was doing all those cool scrimshaw. That was always his thing. He said, you know, he would just keep it in the bow bait tank or keep it in a bait receiver. He said the same thing. Just let the ocean do its thing for a long period of time. And
yeah, his artwork's amazing, too.
Yeah, so cool.
Yeah. Connect with him and get him to do some of mine.
Yeah. The coolest.
He's been working too hard, though, on the Shogun.
Yeah, and he's got a brand new one. I think it's going to be a long line for getting some scrimshaw work.
For sure. You have a good one there?
I thought so, yeah. This is a great text question that came through. It says, Dylan, are there other types of fish that you catch incidentally while fishing for swordfish? Opas, deep water fish, anything like that? What's the bycatch like? That's all from Tom in Temecula.
Awesome. I have yet to catch anything other than a swordfish, except I had a Humboldt squid get snagged on my baited squid. There's in our local canyons, guys hook big eye thresher shark. It's a deep water thresher shark species. I've yet to hook one, but you know, especially along the coastal canyons, that's popular bycatch. Offshore, it is possible to catch an opa. I believe they're usually higher in the water column. I know there's been some incidental catches of those. I think it's usually when guys kind of scope their baits up above the swordfish. You know, maybe accidentally, or they're kind of towing their baits away from the shallow or something, and it scopes up, you know, kind of out of swordfish zone into opa zone, which I believe opa are more like 200 to 500 feet in that zone, so they're like a little bit higher in the water column.
Sharks?
As long as you're dropping your bait and retrieving it quickly, there's no shark bycatch. I've heard, you know, like commercial guys have told me that, you know, when they're setting their buoy gear, like a mako shark will follow their squid down and eat it on the way down.
Uh-huh.
And I know guys are like fiddling with their lights and stuff, and a blue shark will come up and attack their squid, which if you spent 30 minutes rigging it, you're pretty bummed.
I remember the very beginning of this, like years before even the 2019, when it kind of started to get dialed in. I don't remember who, and it might have been Stoats or it might have been somebody else, but I remember somebody putting deep drop gear down and fighting a fish for a considerable amount of time, pulling drag back and forth, all these things, and they had a sea lion eat a bait hooked in the mouth at like 700 feet deep or something.
Wow.
Something where
you've never had that.
Something where none of it made sense whatsoever. You know, so, in the very beginning, we're finally on, everything's good, pulling a big one, and
The reason that they are pushing for the deep set buoy gear commercial industry is because there's no bycatch.
Right.
Yeah.
And in the studies that they've done, it's very rare for those guys to have to fish 3 miles offshore.
Right.
And it's very rare for them to get any other bycatch.
Yeah.
You know, and you compare that with gill netting or long lining. Obviously, there's a ton. So, you know, that's we've really
such
yet
a clean
to see
fishery.
It. Yeah, we
yeah,
you know,
that's cool.
It's crazy, and it's like when you get a bite, you've been waiting a day or two doing drift.
Great point. Yeah,
you pretty
probably
much
probably
know
swordfish.
It's a swordfish.
Yeah,
you know,
there's no question, huh?
I mean, because there's nothing else down there.
Yeah,
you know, that's feeding at that depth. So or
that's
you have
cool
to discover. I'm like excited. I was like
sure
catch an esquilar.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
I catch, but
nah.
Yeah. They figure at some point something's got to swim by.
Yeah, yeah, you would think even on the way up or down.
Totally.
You know, if you're retrieving it through the water column or something, but so far around 1,000 feet, only hooking swordfish.
That's cool. Hey, Chris in San Marcos says contact Jamie Lyons from KK Kona Lures. Does a beautiful job of preserving and displaying bills from swordfish and marlin.
Yeah,
KP Kona. Jamie does a really beautiful job.
He does really. In addition to that, he does really cool job with.
And you can get a hold of him through Ken's Custom Reels and Oceanside. He's easy to find.
Totally.
There. Yeah.
I like those tuna tails that he preserves too. You know what I mean? Like a cool trophy that doesn't cost you a fortune.
Yeah.
Like, catch a big cow tuna, makes a cool, like, you know, desktop pedestal type thing. Yeah, he does a great job. Jamie's my man.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Yeah, you know, there's so many questions about swordfish, and I think it's kind of like the buzz. So give us a kind of a scenario. What's a typical day of swordfish fishing with you? I'm going to charter Bite Sport Fishing. I'm going to go fishing with Dylan.
Great call.
typical day is, you know, you'd show up whatever marina we're running out of at the time, depending on where the fish volume is located. Like Brandon was saying earlier, we'll move the boats around to access the best fishery that we can. You show up at the morning, pretty much everything's taken care of as far as tackle, ice, everything on the boat, and we get you loaded with all your stuff and head out.
Bring your lunch. Grounds.
Yeah, the clients bring their own food.
Yeah.
We'll head out to the grounds, wherever those may be, and we'll just assess the area as what's currently happening, maybe what happened the day before, you know, if we were out or if we hooked fish or caught fish or, you know. And depending on how it looks, we'll set up right away, or maybe we'll look around and look for, you know, we might be looking for temp edges or bathymetry or bait or all of the above, depending on if we had success in a previous day on one of those things. And we'll get set up in a drift. Our drifts usually go for anywhere from, you know, 30 minutes to several hours. And then if we haven't had a bite and we've drifted out of water that we deem is good water, we'll do a bait check and wind in and reset. And the day pretty much goes on like that until dark, you know, especially in the fall, the days are so short. So
you'll fish till dark. Pretty
yeah. Good. And we try to get out early and fish as many daylight hours as possible.
So it's all about time on the water.
At this point, it's definitely about having time with baits in the zone.
Yeah.
You know, if you're on good water and you know there's fish, you know, where you're fishing, you know, that's the most important thing. And then from there, you know, we just try to keep baits down as in that zone as long as we can, you know, give what the best.
What's the longest you've ever pulled on one?
Ooh, that's a good question.
We've had fish that are like 6 and 7 hours.
Oh!
The 7 hour one, like, when it came up, it was like pretty much dead, and we were like dealing with really bad weather, and so that was a contribution to it. The 6 hour one was only like a 200 pounder, and the thing just, it got dark, and it like turned into like Terminator mode. Just, dude, I've never seen anything like it. It was on the wind on leader for like 150 feet away. Yeah. For 4 hours.
4 hours.
Yeah, just pissed.
Right
like,
there.
We're just wouldn't budge. You see it in the thermocline and like.
The king.
Yeah, it's so gnarly. I have so much respect for that fish.
Gladiators.
Cool. Hey, when we come back, I can't believe 2 hours went by so fast. A great time. So much killer info. And we got more. We're going to find out who's going fishing on this, the Liberty out of Fisherman's Landing. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way in the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. Hi, this is Doug Kern. Our hardworking crew will make sure your fishing experience is one to remember. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet is second to none. Fisherman's Landing is a full-service operation offering great half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day open party trips on the spacious and comfortable Liberty. Since we introduced the full-day trips at Fisherman's Landing, the 85-foot Liberty has become a favorite among full-day operations with bunks for your comfort, huge bait capacity, and RSW fish holds to keep your catch fresh. Plus, Liberty has a big modern galley and 2 interior heads with showers. All our open party trips from half-day, full, or 1 to 3 day trips can easily be booked online at fishermanslanding.com or give us a call at 619-221-8500. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
This is Art Taylor of Searcher Sport Fishing. Join Captain Mike Totter, Chef Josh Evans as a new era begins for Searcher Sport Fishing. Mike and Josh will continue the legacy of excellent customer service, fantastic food, and an amazing crew. Book your fishing adventure now online at SearcherSportFishing.com or call Celia at 619-226-2403. SearcherSportFishing.com, 619-226-2403.
Fillet knives shouldn't be disposable. Introducing AFCO fillet knives that are built to last. Designed in collaboration with Boker Germany, AFCO knives feature 4116 German stainless steel bonded with titanium nitride to ensure optimum corrosion resistance and exceptional edge retention. A non-slip TPR handle maintains a firm grip when processing game fish. Premium in every sense, AFCO fillet knives are available in multiple length options to provide the right tool that gets the job done season after season. Fillet knives from AFCO. Any fish, any water.
On your next fishing trip, you want to maximize your catching power by using the best jigs available. That's why you need Sea Falcon. These handmade Japan brand certified lures will take your fishing and catching to the next level. All Sea Falcon jigs and plugs are hand painted in Japan, utilizing the highest level of quality and attention to detail. Gamakatsu's premium assist hooks are ideal to pair with Sea Falcon lures. From knife jigs, short jigs, poppers, and plugs, Sea Falcon lures get it done. Check SeaFalconUSA.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Hey, we're going to find out who's going fishing on board the Liberty. Dylan's going to do us the honor.
Flip that coin.
Flip the prize coin. And today we have a texter winning. So congratulations, Mr. Wong and Dana Point. You're
all
going
right.
Fishing on the Liberty.
Congratulations, Dylan. Great job.
So rad, Dylan.
So much information. If somebody wants to go catch a swordfish with you, how do we do it?
Check us out at Buy It Sport Fishing. Give Brandon a call. He shouted his number out earlier. We also take bookings through Fisherman's Landing, and depending on where we're operating up and down the coast.
Yeah, and ask for Dylan. You want
ask for any of us.
Yeah, all the guys.
Yeah, it's fun to fish with all of us.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Dylan, for taking the time to come in. Appreciate that.
Of course.
Hey, thank you all out there. Thanks to JP for Man of the Phones. Thanks to Adam for the app. And be safe today, and we'll see you next week. Carl Schmidt from Fisherman's Landing next Saturday talking some serious fishing. And then next Sunday, Jeff Roberto from Sushi on a Roll will be here talking fish care, fish eating, and more. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you next week right back here on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Hookup app.